Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the K-Ash radio station on tonight. This is Sister Valerie Harris, and I come to you tonight real excited. I've been anticipating this all day long. As a matter of fact, a couple of days. So I just want to open up in prayer and go before God and invite His Spirit to come in and just have control on tonight. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for another day. We thank you for another hour, Lord God. We thank you for another opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, that you have brought us through this day, Lord God, and you're gathering us together, gathering your children together, Lord God, to hear from a word from on high, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the bread of life. We thank you, Father, that you will invite us to feast at your table, Lord God.
Yes.
So, Father, I thank you for this evening, Lord God. I'm so excited in my spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Wash over us, Lord. Lord, eyes to see, Father, when you, the marvelous things that you are doing, Father. Father, I lift up the speaker on tonight. Father, I cover him with the blood of Jesus. God, I pray, Lord God, that he will pour out of his spirit, Lord God, the things that you have shared with him, Lord God, for your people. Lord God, we glorify you, Lord God, and we lift you up. We magnify you, Lord God, and we just thank you, Lord, and we bless your holy and righteous name. Amen and amen and amen. On tonight, we have a special speaker. I'm so eager and hungry to hear what this man of God has to say to God's people. I'm excited and hungry, just hungry. You know, so often we just pour out, and tonight I have the opportunity to be fed by one of God's own, my friend, my brother, this anointed man of God. I thank God for him. I invite you that to go get you a pen and some paper, get you something that you might want to take notes on this word that he's bringing from the Lord. Pastor Greg, are you there?
I'm with you. I'm here.
Okay. Pastor Hunter, are you on the line? Doing a quick roll call. Well, I know if he's not there, he's on his way. So, Pastor Greg, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Good evening, and thank you, Sister Valerie, for the warm welcome, for the words of encouragement, and for the prayer. I want to say thank you for allowing me this opportunity to come and to share what God has been sharing with us all week long. Just to kind of back into the message tonight just a little bit, about a week and a half ago, I was talking to God, having a conversation with him. And I said, God, what would you have me to understand about you and about the word and about the relationship that I have with you? He says, not so much what I want you to understand, but it's what you misunderstanding. And what he showed me that I was misunderstanding was my benefits of being a child of God Because in the world that we are living in now, and I'm so grateful tonight because we're on a Blog Talk radio station where we are worldwide. People are listening from everywhere. We're in a world right now where it seems as though that the world benefits more than the children of God. It seems as though that the world is having more excitement and more joy and more peace than the children of God. And when God showed me what he showed me, last week, we looked at the benefits of being a child of God. On Monday, we looked at the benefit of being able to talk to God and relate to him as a good and loving father. On Tuesday, we looked at there's a benefit in being led by the Holy Spirit. But on Wednesday, we looked at it from a different perspective, because we looked at the benefit of God disciplining us as his children. And I'm going to pause here for a second, because here is where most of us don't like this process of being disciplined. But in Hebrews 12:5-6, it talks about the disciplining. And most of us are parents or have had a parent at some time discipline us, or we may have had to discipline our children. But discipline without love is abuse. But I don't want to stop right there. On day 4, which was Thursday, we looked at the benefit of having each other to build each other up and to walk this journey of life with. We looked at how valuable of having each other was to being a child of God. And on day 5, which was Friday, we looked at the benefit of abiding in our Father's house in Psalms 91. The benefits of being a child of God is so valuable in understanding. And Chad, I'm hoping that after tonight that we really understand the benefits of being a child of God. It's almost like going to apply for a job. And I'm going to get off into the lesson tonight, but I need to pause here for a second. Because most of us, when we go apply for a job right now, after we are told how much money we're going to make, what our hours are going to be, most of us in this day and time, we want to know, what do our benefit package look like? What does our retirement package look like? What does it look like from the benefits perspective? But when we were younger, all we really cared about is how much money we're going to make, without worrying about the benefits. Tonight I want to look at the first one, the benefit of being able to talk to God and relate to him as a good and loving father. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting in the 10th verse, says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or husband will, but born of God. Have you ever told your child or someone that's significant in your life that they can feel free to talk to you about anything, no matter what time of the day or night it is? Being able to talk with God and relate to Him as a good and loving Father is one of the benefits of being a child of God. There are times when we may need to talk to someone and we get a busy signal. There may be some times when you really needed to talk to someone and they answer the phone, and as soon as they say something, they say, "Let me get right back with you. Let me call you right back." Not even hearing what we had to say. But I needed to start off this way tonight so that I can lay the foundation for where we're going tonight. Because I need to know, first of all, that this God that I'm talking about is loving, is caring, is always available. I never have to be concerned, is He busy? And that's one of my benefits as a child of God. John chapter 10 and 11 says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him." So many people today now that I'm running in contact with and I'm talking with now, the first thing they say is, "I don't know who my daddy is. I would love to know who my father is." And I got to be honest with you, at 47 years old, I'm still looking for a father that I never had in the natural. But one of my benefits now, because I didn't get an opportunity to receive that nurturing and that loving and that caring fatherly love that most of us, or some of us, have experienced, it's pretty difficult sometimes for me relating to someone about a father-son relationship. A spiritual renewness. We're talking about a spiritual renewness in verse 10 and 11 that drives away the darkness and brings us into this marvelous light, which is the true benefit in receiving. Because this word receiving is totally opposite from knowing. Because I can know who my father is. I can know who God is. But it's not until I receive God, the way God is, that I begin to come into this relationship. And I just needed to kind of get that out of the way before I move into the benefit of being led by the Holy Spirit. The benefit of being led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14-17 says it this way: "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Have you ever went somewhere and it did not go as you thought it would? And you said to yourself, something told me not to go down. Something told me not to do this. Something told me not to do that. Or have you ever took on an assignment and went somewhere where others tried to convince you not to go? Or stayed in a relationship that others wanted you to leave, but something kept telling you to stay, and now you're happy you did. We're talking about the Holy Spirit guidance. We're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. See, I know not today when something happens or when something says go left or go right, I no longer say something. I already know it's the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at Matthew 4:1-11, because I need to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. In the best illustration that I could find was when Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. But let me clarify something here. God himself he's never the agent of temptation. But here, just as in the book of Job, God uses satanic temptation to serve his sovereign purpose. Somebody listening right now may be confused here. So let me help you. Have you ever left some bait out for your child, your spouse, or spoke or picked the occasion to see what they would do? That's a question. I want to pause here for a question. Have you ever set some bait out for someone? You already knew what they was going to do, or maybe you didn't, so you were filled with joy because maybe you were proving it to someone else. And I just needed to paint the picture like that, because there were times, even in parenting, there were times when I've set something out and I say, I just need to see how Lee Greg is going to respond to this here. I need to see for myself, but because I know what I put in him, I already knew how he was going to respond. Let's look at Matthew 4:1-11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand up on the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. "And this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. Listeners, tonight I want to look at three areas that Jesus was tempted. And I also want to encourage you tonight. And here's why I wanted to spend a little time. Because if you're a child of God, there are three tests that you have to pass. Those three tests, we can't get around them. We can't ignore them. Because there are three tests that Jesus had to pass. And I know somebody might be saying right now, God don't tempt us. I've heard it before. I've even said it before. I've even told somebody that's not biblical. That's not godly. Until I understood how Jesus was. But before I get off into these three areas, let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. And then I want to look at these three areas. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Let's look at this first temptation. The first area Satan tempted Jesus was with the lust of the flesh. And if you're gonna be a child of God, I'm gonna just go ahead on and lay this out right now. There are three areas that you can always be looked to be tempted in, that you must pass the test. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 just gave us the way out. He said that we would not be tempted beyond what we can bear. Let's look at this first temptation. The first area Satan tempted Jesus was with the lust of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said that when God tempts us, he will always, and here's what I want us to understand, and here is where being a child of God, this is a benefit. There's a benefit when you're tempted and you know your benefits. Because one of the benefits is that we, although we'll be tempted, he will always give us a way out. No matter what we are tempted with. The first one we're looking at is the lust of the flesh. Verse 2 and 3 is where Jesus was tempted with the lust of the flesh. Let's look at what it says. He said, "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" That's the temptation. But let's look at verse 4, the way out. Let's look at how Jesus responded to temptation. Jesus said in verse 4, "It is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." As children of God, we always have a way out. We can always be tempted in some area. But tonight, we're only looking at three. We're only looking at the three that Jesus was tempted. The first one is the lust of the flesh. Now let's look at the lust of the eyes. The second area Jesus was tempted is the lust of his eyes. But I want to stop and pause here for a second, because I want all us to look at where Satan took him. He took him high so that he can see the bigger picture. So be careful of meeting and having groups and gatherings on the top floor. I always tell people up there that, and it's just for me, I always tell people I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of heights. We don't need to have a meeting on the 50th floor with open windows. Be careful of those meetings on the high floor. Because most of the time, it's to impress you. You can have the executive suite way up here. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. I'm still in Matthew. I'm in the 4th chapter. Verse 2 and 3 describe the lust of the flesh. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. The lust of the eyes. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. Let's look at where Satan took Jesus at. He took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. Be careful of having meetings on the top floor. I would rather have a meeting in the basement than to have a meeting on the top floor. And here's what Satan told Jesus, because they was at the top of the mountain. He could see everything, all the kingdoms. And he told Jesus, he said, all this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. I'll give you all this, but it's going to require you at certain times to sell out. I'm not going to tell you words like sell out, but I'll give you this promotion on your job. But I may need you to fire people, and I may require you to fire somebody that you started out with. I'll give you this here. I'll give you vacations once a month. But every now and then, I may require you to falsify some documents. Your office is going to be on the 50th floor. You can oversee the whole city. You have an expense card that you can use whenever you want to, with a $10,000 limit per month. And if you go over, don't worry about it. We can overlook that too. I'm going to give you this here. But let's look at what Jesus said in verse 10. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." My question is, do you know, or have you ever been put in a position and offered the kingdom, but it came with some consequences? But it wasn't wrapped in consequences, it was wrapped in benefits. It came looking pretty. It came in such a way Well, it's almost too good to be true. Because mind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 just told us that we'll never be tempted beyond what we can bear or what we can stand. So if you're going to be a child of God, you have to understand that just like Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted, there will be times when you're going to be led to be tempted. You're not going to ask for it. You're not going to beg for it. Sometimes you're not even going to see it coming. But know that when you're tempted, that the Holy Spirit will always give you a way out. You don't have to sell out. Because when you're a child of God, there are some benefits that comes with that. The last one I want to look at is the pride of life. The pride of life is the third area where Satan tempted Jesus. In verse 5 and 6, Satan uses scripture while tempting Jesus. He used some scripture on him. Have you ever been put in a position where somebody tried to make you feel bad or guilty by using scripture? Satan used scripture when he tempted Jesus. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. Chapter 4, the Gospel of Matthew. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Then he said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now let's look at Psalms 91. Verses 11 and 12. It says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." The pride of life. Satan uses scripture while tempting Jesus. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, Satan tempted Eve. Because that's where the first temptation took place. God knew he was capable of doing this because he made him. God knows what we are capable of because he made us. But this pride, let's look at how Jesus responded to this. Jesus answered him and said, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The three areas tonight that we're looking at is being tempted in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There are times when we have to know that as a child of God, there will be some moments when you are led by the Holy Spirit to do something that you don't feel you can do. There are some relationships, some marriages, some parenting, some friendships. There are some things that we find ourselves in right now. And if you like myself, you have to ask yourself, why am I going through this? God will always give the hardest test to the best students. But I'm so grateful tonight to know that God would never, never, never give me a test that he has not equipped me to pass. I won't have time to move on tonight into the benefit of being disciplined. I won't have time to move into the benefit of having each other. I won't even have enough time to move into the benefit of abiding in our Father's house. Because it seems as though we're going to have to come to a close. But I want to look at verse 10 for a second. I want to look at how Jesus answered. In verse 10, Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." As a child of God, I want to challenge everyone tonight. Just like when you get your benefit package from your job and they give it to you and they tell you go home and read through it and make sure you understand it before signing it and returning it. Tonight I want to challenge everyone. Begin to study your benefit package for being a child of God. One of the benefits of being a child of God is that the weapon may form, but it won't prosper. Another benefit of being a child of God is that he said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. But one of my favorites is in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Because here is where we receive some good news and some bad news. Because in John 16, 33, he said, as long as you're in this world, and here's what I want to conclude and close tonight on. As long as you're in this world, children of God, in this world, mind you that we're in the world, but we are not to be of this world. Meaning that we have to learn how to function in this world. Not try to make this world function as God would have it to. Because he said, as long as you're in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. And for some of us, that's bad news. But as a child of God, he's saying, but be of good cheer. I've overcame the world. One of the benefits, he said, let this mind of Christ be in you. He's saying that if I'm in you, then you're an overcomer. Because if you would abide in me and I abide in you, and as long as we're together, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So as a benefit of being a child of God, I know that there are three areas that I can always look to be tempted in. That is the lust of my flesh. Paul said, when I want to do right, Sister Valerie, I mean with everything in me I want to do right. I'm fighting to do right. I don't want to say this. I don't want to do this. I want to do right. But evil always presents itself in its presence. But greater is he that is in you and that is in me than he that is in the world. So we can always be looked to be tested as Jesus was in the lust of the flesh, in the lust of the eyes, and in the pride of life. So I'm going to have to come to a close. There's so much more for us to discuss. So at some point, maybe Sister Valerie will have me come back so that we can look at the benefits of being a child of God. There are benefits. But in the world that we're living in right now, it almost seems like the world is winning. But I'm so grateful, in closing, that when I was homeless, that when I was sleeping in a porta potty, that when I was strung out on drugs, after trying to commit suicide 5 times, after being incarcerated 5 years, after being neglected, rejected, and disrespected, after feeling like I was in the world all by myself, I'm so grateful that one day I read my Bible, and my Bible said that the first shall be last, and the last will be first. Because when I read that scripture, I was in last place. I was strung out on drugs. I was homeless. I was sleeping in a porta potty. And I cried out and I said, God, if you will, save me. And with the rest of my life, I'll serve you. And that was February 11, 2002. And I've been clean and sober since February 12, 2002. And if God would spare life, February 12th, I'll celebrate 18 years no crack, no alcohol, no drugs, no stealing from my mom, no sleeping in a porta potty, not being homeless. So tonight, family, I want everybody to begin to study your benefits package. There's benefits for being a child of God. There's benefits that come with having insurance when you go to the doctor. And if you have good insurance, you have no copay. Well, family, tonight I got some good news for you. You don't have no copay. The price has already been paid. All you need to do now is receive your benefit package. Begin to do like Jesus did in verse 10. Worship the Lord, your God, and serve him only. He said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. Not just some of the words. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. So begin to speak back to your mountains. Whenever you're tempted, begin to speak back to it with the word of God like Jesus did. Because as children of God, we have a benefit of being able to use the word of God. So I want to stop right here. We have a few minutes left. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you have a concern. So, Sister Valerie, I want to leave a few minutes for you to open up the line, and maybe somebody have something that they would like to share with us. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to come tonight and talk briefly on the benefits of being a child of God. So, Sister Valerie, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Thank you very much for the opportunity of sharing.
Pastor Greg, I want to thank you for being obedient to God. I was just sitting here pondering on the things that God was saying through you. You know, sometimes when your parent calls you and says, come, I need to sit down and have a talk with you.
Yes.
We get a little nervous about what the parent is going to say. But I believe that in our, that's precisely what the Spirit of God is doing, giving us a sober word, reminding us of who we are, and reminding us of the what comes our way, the things that come to destroy us. And the word was so rich, I believe that it's even more than what I anticipated it to be. And those three temptations of Christ, that wasn't new. Satan started his plot out in the Garden of Eden with those same things, those same three tests. But you know, God tells us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We have to know who we are in God. And we have to know what God has provided for us. See, everything that glitters is not gold. And when just as much as knowing the benefits that God brings, we have to be wise to the things that are presented to us that are not God. Utilizing the gift of the Spirit and utilizing the fruit of His Spirit. And I invited as many people that I could think of to come to this line to hear His word, because I know that it was a call of God for us to hear what our Father had to say to us. And I floor, invite other people to come and hear what God is speaking in this hour so that we can be sober, so we can be built up, so we can be suited up, because dark days are already here. And God wants to prepare us and build us up and equip us. And knowing who he is and knowing what the benefits are in our life, knowing how to stand during desperate times and troubled times, knowing that his grace, he said, is sufficient for us. How when a person finds themselves at the bottom of the heap, find themselves in the places that Greg opened up about his own life and how God lifted him up and raised him up. To be on a platform here today to talk to you about our loving Father and what he can do in each and every one of our lives. If you know somebody that's lost, invite them to join us next week here Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. and be not only going over the notes and going over what he said, but also be prayerful that somebody would be lifted up, somebody would be saved and set free and delivered because of the word, and that we might be encouraged. Jesus prayed that we might be one. I was so excited, Pastor Greg, I didn't even give you a proper introduction. I introduced you as if everybody already knew you, and I apologize for that. But what you may not know his name, but know him by the Spirit of the living God. Know that this is your brother. Know that this is a son of God, who God has given a word to the body of Christ.
So I thank you,
Pastor Greg, and I invite you to come back next week to let's continue this and finish what God is saying to you to give to us. And so the lines are open. If there are any comments, any prayer requests, we open up the lines now.
Can you hear
me?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay, I'm glad that he came on and talked about those benefits. That was really, I really enjoyed him talking about the benefits. Don't forget the benefits. And because a lot of people do. God does so much for us, and I was just looking at when he was talking about that, I was looking at Psalms 103 where it said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits."
All
amen.
His benefits.
Who pardons all your iniquities, who heal all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is restored like the eagle. God is so great to us. And when he's talking about the benefits, I went to 103 and I said, "You know what, Lord? You are awesome. You are God. We can't forget your benefits. We can't forget it." And he talked about temptation and how the devil tempts us, because the devil tempts us, but in James chapter 1, verse 13, it said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." And that lets us know God doesn't tempt us. It's the devil that tempts us with the lust of the eyes of this. But like you said, he has made a way of escape for us when we are tempted. There's a way of escape. So I thank God for him bringing those points out. It's just a blessing to hear tonight. It's truly a blessing. And I just wanted to expound on that, because people do forget the benefits of God, you know, and we just got to stay in prayer with and for one another as sisters and brothers, you know, sharpen them, Iron sharpen iron.
Iron sharpen iron.
Yes, one another tonight in this word. So I thank God for it. It's just truly been a blessing. And thank you for the opportunity to let me share that with you all.
Amen, amen. Anyone else?
Glory to God. Jesus is Lord and worthy of all our praise. And I thank God for this word tonight. I almost missed it, but the devil is a lie. It's confirmation. The earth is truly waiting on the sons of God to rise. And they're here. They're here, but they're focusing on what the world is saying and doing. God said, where sin abound, grace much more abound. Now's the time to turn our eyes to, if we haven't already, to his word and his promises and his benefits and all that he said. He said, my children perish for the lack of knowledge. It's not getting your college education he's talking about. He's talking about the knowledge of his word.
Yes.
His word is a sword in our mouth against the enemy. At this time, we should be looking for his promise. He said, much more grace. Don't look at what the world is showing us and walking in fear. Jesus said, fear not. Fear not.
Mm-hmm.
We can't walk in fear, but focus on God and what Jesus has already done in the earth. He's already accomplished. We have the victory in him, but the church, the body of Christ, has got to arise. We've let everything out of the closet but us. The time has come, God, for this man coming, the man of God coming and sharing what he had, what the Spirit has said to him. It's the time for us to have not itchy ears, not to be pacified with what we want to hear, but to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And this is truly a blessing. Thank you. And come again. God be the glory.
Amen, amen. Anyone else?
Thank you, Sister Valerie, for allowing Greg, Pastor Greg, to teach tonight about the benefits. It has been truly a blessing. And all the great scripture references he gave. And I was really pleased to write down the three areas of temptations that was for Jesus as well as for us. So great, great, great call tonight. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Pastor, I took notes. You know, this is the time where we ought to be sober-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ought to know exactly the benefits of God, forgetting not the benefits. I had even doing, while you were teaching, I went to Psalm 103 and started reading. But I intend to stay in this word and hear what God is saying to us.
Yes.
Anyone else? We have a few more minutes.
Amen.
Well, if there's no one else, I just pray that the words that we have heard on tonight would not leave our hearts, but it would settle and resonate within our spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Father, don't let the enemy come and take this word. But Father, may we see planted upon our hearts, Lord, that we may grow and we may grow closer to you, Lord. But in this hour, Father, we need to hear your voice. We need to know your instructions, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together to sit down and hear a sober word, Lord God, a word full of truth, a word full of power, the word that comes to set men free, to remind us of the path that our Lord and Savior took, because he told us to deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow after him. But I thank you, Father, that he just wasn't just led into the wilderness, Father, but when he came out of the wilderness after being led by the Spirit, Father, you had quenched him to go into the world to set people free. So, Father, I pray that same anointing, Lord God, the same word, Lord God, that was ministered unto him as the angels came and fed him, Lord God, after going through that trial, that, Lord, we will be equipped, Father, to go and do the work of the kingdom, that our eyes will be set upon you, Lord God, and not in the things of this world. I thank you, Pastor Greg, on tonight, Father. Oh, Father, what a rich word, Lord God, how he catered to us, Lord God, and served us and fed us, Lord God. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you had even moved his schedule, Lord God, to allow him to come. Raise him up, Father, in his hours to greater heights in you, Father, not to be puffed up because that's not in his heart, Lord, but, Lord, to be elevated, Lord God, to the point where your word, Lord God, would be expounded into the hearts of the broken, into the hearts of those who are lost, Father, that would change lives and transform hearts, Father, for your glory and for your kingdom. I thank you for Pastor Hunter, Lord God, who's the visionary, Lord God, of this line and the visions that you've given him, that he's a young man, Lord God, running to the finish line. May we all endure to the end. Bless us, O Lord God. Keep us in your tender mercy and tender care. I give you glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Pastor Greg, is there anything else you want to say?
No, I just want to say thank you, Sister Valerie. Be blessed. Thank everybody for joining in tonight. And if I had a moment to share before you close, that's exactly what I was going to encourage everybody on, what you just said. Because when he came, and this happened after temptation, so we need to know that there are some things that happen after being tempted. So while you're being tempted, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that we have a way out. But after Jesus was tempted, that's when he came down and launched his ministry. Mm-hmm. So just know, if you're being tempted right now, that when you pass, not if you pass the test, because you'll never be tempted beyond what you can bear, first of all. That's the first promise. That's the first benefit that I want all of us to know. But after you pass the test, God is going to launch you somewhere. It's going to be a ministry.
Amen.
So I want to say thank you, Sister Valerie. God bless you. Love y'all very much. And I'll be looking forward to spending more time with you all. And thank you all for a wonderful night. Thank you, Sister Valerie. And thank you all for your words.
Pastor Greg, are you gonna be able to come back next Monday?
I'm gonna let you know, but I tell you what, I would love to. You let me come back?
Oh, Pastor, I gotta hear the rest of the story. You're not done yet.
Okay.
You can't even say it like that.
Okay, well, if you let me come back, I'll come back, you know.
Okay. I'll come pick you up. I'll come get my limousine and come drive you to this land.
if you let me come back, I'd love to come back. You know, it's something about being in the midst. You know, I can feel a spirit on this land. I can feel the love.
Hallelujah.
And the
Hallelujah.
Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I pray
Thank
for you. You pray for me. We're going to watch God change things.
All right. Amen.
So yeah, if you would allow me to come back, I would love to.
Well, thank you. Y'all heard that?
Amen.
So we're not gonna be Monday night at 8 o'clock and bring somebody with you.
Amen.
So we can get this thing done.
Amen.
So we can be
the
about the Father's business. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Well,
amen. Well, I guess I'll see you next Monday, huh?
Praise yes, God. Sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There it
y'all
is.
Have a blessed night. And don't forget to meditate on what you already have, because next week going to even be even more.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, my brother.
God bless you, too.
Amen. Okay. God bless y'all. Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.